Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No money, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode 393 of 4th and John. I'm Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Prime in the building, and a.k.a. Damn Skippy Hollis Thomas. We're talking about the recap or the aftermath of a embarrassing loss down in Dallas. Now, shout out to Philly Sports Trips for allowing us all to go down there. That was a great opportunity to see another state I've never seen before. I never wanted to go down and to see Jerry World. I never wanted to be around thousands and thousands of Dallas Cowboy fans, but we all subjected ourselves to this opportunity to root on our team and to be there, be there proud and loud. But I'm gonna be honest, man. You Philadelphia Eagles embarrassed us in front of the hoes. It was one of the worst, experiences of my football watching. I don't know, career, like going down. It's one thing to be, your team loses, but it's, as you're heckled by the most hated fans in your lifetime that you just couldn't stand, you got to sit there and take it. And at the end of the day, this team has lacked execution. I think they've lacked some leadership from the coaching down to some of the players on the field. I think you listen to Fletcher Cox after the game. So the real dudes are going to stand up and show up. So what's going on in the locker room? What is the miscommunication between what the coaches are coaching on the field and what the players are doing on the field? But it goes all the way around from the coaches to the scheme to whatnot. I think Eagle fans, we started on a high. We are at probably our lowest of lows. And again, we're 10-3. Season ain't over. But Eagle fans are asking questions, and we have every right to. The floor is yours, Evan.
Listen, after the 49ers loss, I came in here like a sorry sack of shit, in my feels, all sad. I'm not gonna do that shit today. That was fucking embarrassing. I'm not gonna lie. That game fucking sucked. But there's way too much heads in the sand right now. Listen, we still got the best record in the league. I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting here feeling different about the team than I felt the rest of the year. I mean, the Eagles, when they were winning against the Chiefs, when they were winning against the Bills, when they were winning against the Dolphins, they were showing me that they were a legitimate team, that Jalen was a winner, that he will do everything it takes to win. And these past 2 weeks have just been a stark contrast to what we've seen all year long. I think a lot of how people are feeling right now is recency bias. I think that there's people that are absolutely hitting the panic button. And I'm not going to lie. I kind of understand in the moment why you feel that way. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think we're still a damn good football team. We need to shake this shit off. We got some real, joke teams coming up, and we need to treat them like a joke. The Giants and the Cardinals, we need to fucking stomp their asses and get our heads right. And there's really no ifs, ands, buts about it. Like, we need to – I want 16 full quarters for the rest of the year. to take us into the playoffs. Hey, man, the sun will rise again, as will the Eagles. Let's fucking go, Birds.
Hey, Prime, can I ask you a question? Was that your first time in Dallas?
No, that was actually my second time in Dallas.
Okay.
You look hurt, Primo. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, you look hurt.
I just don't have the same vibes as you right now, Evan. I gotta ask you the question. Like you say, we're still considered one of the best teams, but where the fuck is that team at, man? Because that team is nowhere to be found nowadays. You know, I mean, being in that building, seeing that shit show, because it was a shit show. You know, Gail mentioned that the heckling that was going on. And that stadium, that fan base had every right to go ahead and heckle us the way they did. I went in there with so much confidence. You know, I stand my ground. I go in there and I do what I do. I'm wearing a Dallas Sucks chain the whole damn trip. And, you know, and I go to that city to represent my team, and my team doesn't even show up. It's crazy. Like, it's hard to see. It's hard to see the game plan. Like, there's just nothing there. Like, where did the chemistry go? There's just, like, nothing, not from the offense, not from the defense. Certain players are still doing their things. But, I mean, this is a team game. They need to play as a team, and they're not. Everybody's quick to get on social media. Oh, watch out. Be ready. Here it comes. You know what I mean? Stay tuned. Man, cut all that shit out. Start showing it. Stop talking about it. I'm tired of it, man. Like, you know what I mean? A.J. Brown getting frustrated because he's not getting the ball enough. But, bro, you ain't even catching the ball. You know what I mean? You had a nice-ass play that came to you and went right through your hands. All right, you worrying about scuffling with somebody that you call old, but, damn, he shut you the hell down. All right? I don't understand that shit. Devontae Smith, fumble. Jalen Hurts, fumble. A.J. Brown, fumble. All right, he's not even showing aggression at the past couple games. I don't get it, but he wants to go ahead and run. It's frustrating. So, like, I'm sorry that I just don't got that same vibe as you right now. I'm mad. I'm mad as hell. You talk about we got four easy games? Nah, bro. They ain't easy. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the way our defense is playing and the way I saw those Giants playing yesterday, we got two more games against them. We go into Seattle that we could barely win. All right, and I'm just not – I don't know. I'm just not as confident as I was for the past 10 weeks before these last two games came upon us. So that's just where I'm at, and that's where I stand.
Yeah, you know what? You have every right to be, you know, that way. And it's gonna be some people that's gonna be both ways. I'm waiting to see, you know, how this team reacts and answers the bell, for because it's a long season. And I was telling before you came on, I was telling Eb Love Hollywood that about when I first hit the rookie wall, and we don't have we have a bunch of young cats playing too, and when you hit that rookie wall, it's like right now everybody's taking finals and going home. If you look at our team, we lost. You look at our defense, for instance, lost the middle linebacker. We lost Kazir White. We lost we lost the middle of the two safeties that we had. We lost both. We got all new guys in there, also new coordinators. And somebody just put up about Nick Sirianni took the play calling out of his hands and put it in the other guy's hands. I think he needs to get back over there, because I don't think Brian Johnson, to me personally, I think the problem is we're not playing complimentary football like we were playing last year. And you can't, these past two games showed us what happens if you wait to the second half to play against a really good team. And we've been, even though we're 10-3, the last two games, they hurt like a motherfucker, because we've been riding with the team the entire time. And the one thing that I know we have a good team, and it's a bunch of young guys. And what was the only thing that saved grace with me was the guys who stepped up yesterday defensively were all the older guys. All the veterans and stuff, they stepped up. So with them stepping up, they're going to have to convey that message around the team. And we'll see what this next game is. Seattle's fighting for their playoff lives. If you think they're going to come out there and lay down, you out your damn mind. And it's I'm just happy we started fast, because I think the reason why everybody feels this way is because we've seen them play good. We've seen them play well. It's like now we want to see it again, because it's just that yesterday, and I feel for a lot of the people that went down there, because we had with Philly Sports Trips, we had a tremendous time all the way up into the game. And those, if you don't know anything about a Cowboys fan now, you should know that you hadn't heard shit from them all season long. They didn't want to say nothing until after they won the game. And that's just pretty much how it's going to be. They're not gonna, you're not going to hear from them again because they're on the road against the Bills. But we need to put that part out of our mind. We need to be concentrated on the Seahawks and getting this next victory because, man,
and that's that hurts bad, man. That's just the thing. We got to start worrying about what the rest of their schedule looks like, what the rest of Dallas' schedule looks like, San Fran. Like, we got to worry about our schedule. Yeah. We got to worry about getting our shit together. Chase, I see you making the comment. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I know the record says 10-3 on my headline. You're absolutely right, bro. We are tied with the other two teams that we should have had the better advantage. In the very beginning, we looked like we had the better advantage. And then for these past two games, where did our team just go? Like, they just disappeared. I mean, Chase, not for nothing, bro. I've been in that building for those two games, seeing these guys play, and it's horrible. It's horrible play calling. It's horrible defense. They just can't figure each other out, man.
We look defeated.
They look defeated from, like, after the first 3 minutes of the game. Yeah. Once that very first big play is done against them, it's like, shit. What are we about to go ahead and be here for the rest of the way? Like, is it going to really be that type of game? And I'm tired of it, man. I'm just fed up.
I got one quick question. Did you guys see Kevin Bayer's first interview after the 49ers game? What he said?
Who was it?
Kevin. Yeah, Bayer, the safety.
Fired. Yeah.
He said, Bayer. He said, we got outplayed and we got outcoached. That's like, so when you hear that, you got to call the coaches out too, because if you look at the routes that we were running in this game, and I actually sat there and I timed out, we got the same just as good as receivers as the Cowboys. You can't tell me that they run the route tree. And I thought that with Dallas Goedert coming back, that they would run some of the underneath stuff. All the stuff he's got going, it takes time to develop. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, if they're backing back, you hit that stuff underneath. We the only person that was underneath a few times was Dallas Goedert. And if they double-team him, they still got us deep. I was like, you're supposed to run different route combinations. It's no creativity in the route combination. If you're going to pass, have some creativity in the routes. And then you run to pass. You can't pass to run. We have a big physical team that needs to kick ass. And we play that's how we won last year. We played complimentary football. Our offense had at least three drives a game that was 8 to 10 plays, eight plus plays. And that gives your defense a rest. And our defense got off the field in timely fashion. We last on right now defensively on third down, stopping people on third down.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about the offense in general, I think, you know, the defense, you know, they bend, they do some yoga type defense, you know, sometimes they hold them to three, but I feel like the way that the offense has been stalling as of late, it's been a major problem. I think you can't keep this defense out there as long as they've been out there. I think when your punter is, connecting better than the offense, and that play wreaked the desperation. We needed it at that time, but just in general, that's horrible to think that was our biggest play on offense.
Yeah, it is crazy to think about. And immediately, I kind of wanted to lean after that game and put a lot of this blame on the coordinators, on the coaches, and I think everybody deserves to catch some blame here. Mm-hmm. However, it wasn't the coordinators out there fumbling, man. It was our stars. And it's not something that I think is going to be a regular thing. I don't think that we're going to have another game where we have a Jalen and AJ and a Devontae fumble. I think that that's a fluke type thing to happen, but it couldn't have happened at a worse time. And like that, those are the types of plays too that you can't pin on the coordinator. That's not on them. No. That's on the player themselves.
Yeah.
In week 9, the Eagles fumbled 3 times and they recovered all 3, but not this time. And again, you can't expect to beat a team like the Cowboys turning the ball over like that, especially but down by the red zone.
Not only that, it was like all 3 fumbles was we was kicking their ass and going in. And so it's like, and then I felt like at the point when the defense got the touchdown, and then we was moving the ball again. That was at a point where I thought we should have took 3 points, because a lot of times when you don't get anything out of that drive, it lets the wind out of the sail of the rest of the squad. It's like, because you didn't get anything. If you get a field goal, you're still down 2 scores, but you're not down 3 scores anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you run a fucking route that y'all was at the game. What did y'all? What happened when on that fourth down play when the fuck stick ran a four? He called a 4-yard route.
That's what I'm talking about. That's that play calling. Like I'm not getting. I mean, like we're in moments where we're really trying to just be there and support, like again, get all hyped up because mm-hmm. we needed that spark. Me and Gail just kept on saying that. Even Vince was there watching the game with us. Like we need a spark. And there were moments where we had that spark, but I mean, it just died when you go and fumble the ball. Then on the fourth down, you're like, okay, man, we have the opportunity to go ahead and get this. And like you just said, how are you going to call a play like that? That's not even going to get us nowhere. You're going to go ahead and slam the ball on the ground. Like, bro, go to the sticks.
Yeah.
Why? What makes you think you were going to go ahead and outrun somebody that was just literally right there in front of you? Yeah. Like, I didn't get it. Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on.
You know what? And the funny part about that play is he kept trying that stupid. We be trying to get too damn cute. And we get to the red zone and we get cute. Run the ball down somebody so score some points. I was like, you have a bully of an offensive line. Use them. I was like, you got guys that's running upfield. Use them. You saw when we was running the ball, how he was getting chunks of yards. Dude, I would have ran that ball down their throat. You keep that offense on the sideline. That shit pisses me off to no end. It was like, and I'm sitting there. Y'all was at the game. I know y'all had to be pissed. And it was like, ah. And it, you know, the jacked up part is y'all was catching it there. And I haven't heard from some of my friends from Dallas since last fucking year. And guess what? They motherfuckers in the DM talking about, oh, yeah. How about, oh, you get the fuck out of my DM. Really? If you can't talk shit while y'all playing and we y'all losing, don't come talking shit to me now because I don't talk shit when we win.
Yeah, that's typical Dallas.
They didn't talk to you after week 9. But it's my thing is, like, you know, there was one point in the game where shout out to Dallas Tech for showing up. How was the plane ride back home? It was fine, you know, but I sat there like an adult and I took it. You know, I looked around. Took some photos of, you know, Cowboy fans and all their, you know, jubilation. Because we deserved it, you know. Like, and again, they earned that win. But then at the end of the day, when you come out there to support your team, you would just hope they would show up. You see in the comment, lack of juice, man.
Yeah, and the thing that I think stuck in we was all out there. I think the thing that stuck in all of our crop was we showed up, but they didn't. At least put it look like you're gonna put up a fight. Don't just lay down and take it. I will say what Ray Rose used to say. This is a family show, so I can't. They're like what he used to tell us before the game. They got us hyped and amped. He's like somebody breaking in your house and rubbing their stuff across your face and trying to make you like it. I was like. We didn't even put up a fight, dude. It was just so. And then it was being caught because from where I was watching the game from, you could tell the refs was called on one side. You can't even bitch about that because the guys that we played, they're not even doing nothing to make it that obvious. It's like,
no, I mean, John Hussey and his crew were definitely not the greatest crew. I mean,
they picked up two flags.
But once they threw the stat up, everybody just loves to throw these stats up. Like, oh, we're 7-0 when he refs our game. Like, bro, stop that. What the fuck was that even necessary for? Mm-hmm. Why did anybody even put that stat up? Yeah. Like, I mean, the calls that were being made. No, I'm not here to make no excuses. Like, that's a Cowboy and a San Francisco fan MO. They like to make excuses with these refs. Nah, we play the game.
And a Chiefs.
You go in there and you know you have to have that mentality that you're going to go up against those type of calls. Mm-hmm. Like we saw it ourselves. There was a lot of holding being held. The pass interference that was called against us was ridiculous. All right. There was a lot of shit being missed. But no matter what, you got to overcome that. They just got away from it, and you know they couldn't redeem themselves. So you can't just go. There was no reason to go blaming the refs. The refs, you know, being the refs, it is what it is.
Now, but I got play the game, man. I got a quick question for you, all three of y'all. So when that first flag got picked up and they rescinded it, what did you guys think? You tell me one by one because I was pissed.
Gonna be a long game.
I thought it was bullshit, man.
Gonna be a long game.
I texted my brother and I said, "Yo, could you tell me about this flag?
Yeah,
yo, you saw it. Was that a BX? I don't want to be that fan that's like, ah." But it,
It was a bad call.
Now, when they did it the second time.
I had to ask my wife to tell me what is it looking like on TV, because I mean, like, am I missing something?
It was worse on TV. It was worse.
It made no sense.
I've never really seen the flag.
Yeah. It was weird, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I mean, you look at the score of that game. It wasn't the refs that beat us down; it was the Cowboys. And I think that one of the hardest, most tough pills to swallow from that game is my kind of takeaway was Dak's having a better year than Jalen. That's just point blank. There's really no denying it now. You look at the stats. You look at that best game. He's having a better year right now than Jalen. Dak is having probably the best year of his career right now, and Jalen is not. Jalen's best year of his career was last year. We need last year Jalen to step back up before we get to the playoffs.
I think Jalen rescinded back to Jalen 2 years ago, the Jalen that we were kind of upset with, the Jalen we kept on questioning. And I'm questioning him right now, man. Like, why are you – again, you're holding on to the ball too long. You know what I mean? Like, the first tier – play, it should be getting hit automatically. We're not doing that. We're waiting until we get to the third tier play before you decide to go ahead and let that ball go. Like, we got to stop that, man. I'm really trying to understand, like, what the hell the game plan is here, because I'm just not getting it, man.
And you know, the one thing too is Prime is like, I don't think he rescinded because it was two touchdown passes dropped. And he's dropping the ball.
No doubt. You're right.
I was going to tell you this part later.
It's just not this game though, Hollis. I'm not talking about just this game.
I know. I think it's more so the way that they call the plays. We didn't get predictable. Way more predictable than we have been in the past. And it's like when I see people jumping routes and then like staying with guys. We don't have that same type of. We got punked on Sunday. We literally got our ass kicked. It was a few guys that wasn't gonna let it happen, but for the most part, offensively they punched the ball out. They took the ball from us. Anytime we got anything going that was gonna create any kind of spark or anything, they took the ball from us, or we went for it on fourth down, and we had a coaching faux pas. We found every which way to get our ass kicked on Sunday. And it's like you have to give, as much as we don't want to, you have to give the cow tramp props, and just live to fight another day. But the one thing that I'm looking for, especially this next game, is them to come out and make a bit of a statement, because I don't.
I was waiting for that statement on Sunday, Hollis.
Yeah, and it's like I was waiting for that statement, but then I was looking too. And it's like, okay, this is that part of the season. Everybody has a part of the season where the season is like a bit of an ebb and flow. And it's like, yeah, I think this is our horrible part of our season. Like, we've been riding high, and I think a little bit of this too is like some people, like, yeah, you guys are making quality points on what we've been watching, but then there's some people that we've been so spoiled, and this is like if I said we was only going to have three losses at the beginning of the season by this time, everybody would have loved that. Just because but they spoiled us right off the rip, like winning all of them. And it's like, damn, what are you guys doing? I want my bike back. My thing
is in the matter of that we lost. And in some of these games that we were, you know, winning, I saw a lot of fighting. I saw the culture of never say quit. And the fact that they were out there balling in those games and pulling. That came from the gut. Now, when you see them again, I mean, we beat the same team week nine. So, like, when people are saying, oh, they beat them in week nine. So, at the end of the day, they can beat this football team. It's a matter of good football teams play good in December. If you look at last year's week 13 and 14 games, we dominated in those. We had scores like this against teams. We need to start playing better.
Is there any credence to what Nick Bosa said?
What he
said? Is there a blueprint out on Jalen Hurts right now?
I think there's a blueprint. There's a blueprint
on Brian Johnson
on the middle of the field, and where they need to attack. You talk about the way that we're successful in some of these slants, some of these curls, but our usage on these routes that we're highly successful on, we're like in the bottom end of the NFL right at this moment. Like if these plays that we're utilizing the slant, you know how many times we're killing teams with the slant? Like, why do we not have an answer when we get a blitz? Where's the check down? Where's the outlet play?
The funny part about my bad, yeah, but it was like what you said when Bosa said that. If you go back and look at the film, Bosa didn't touch nobody. He didn't do shit that entire game. So ain't no blueprint. Now I feel like the guys are young. We don't have the same veteran style team that we had last year. And I feel like that everything is going to get together. So it's like it's 4 weeks left. It's like I think they're gonna get their second win. And that right there is what me and Prime was just talking about. We have fuck Dallas. We hold our own destiny in our hand. That's what we as fans and the team has to know. We hold our own destiny. Fuck what they do. It's what we do. And that Prime was just talking about that. We can't worry about like Dallas is behind us now. We don't have the game with them anymore. Fuck them. It's like we have to worry about the bird, and that's it. So
Prime's over there playing scratch offs, trying to get an Eagles win, I think.
Well, Prime, you know what? I was like, we had a great time down there. We went and kicked it and stuff, and everything was cool and copacetic. Man, we went in that we went in that damn game. They marched downfield on our defense like they weren't even there. They picked up flags, and then our offense, we was like, okay, this is about to be a shootout. Our offense started marching, fumble.
Hey, I mean, I know you want to go ahead and say something, but I just got to get this off my chest. Again, this isn't just based off of this game. It was last week, this one. Shit, even Buffalo, a couple of other games. My thing is, like, you know what I mean? A lot of these key players from this other teams are running their mouths. Nick Bosa being one. Yeah. Michael Parsons being another one. Right. DeMarcus Lawrence being one. Fred Warner being one. Those guys, you're absolutely right, didn't really do shit against us. Mm-hmm. It was, like, non-factor players that did shit against us.
Yeah.
All right? And the thing is it's so predictable because of our play call. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys – that's why when I was so confident saying I'm not worrying about a Nick Bosa, I'm not worrying about the fact that they picked up what's his name, Sweat,
Chase Young.
Chase Young. Yeah. I'm not worried about all that stuff. I was not worried about it because I was so confident on my line doing it. Yeah, me and you talked about this a couple weeks ago. These guys are holding their ground, keeping these guys off of Jalen, and they only are known for holding them for so many seconds, expecting Jalen to go ahead and release that ball, and he hasn't been. You know what I mean? They don't have eyes behind their head, not realizing that man hasn't released that ball yet. They're under the impression he has. So with seconds being already going through, yeah, those guys are going to eventually get through, and they're going to get to the quarterback. But, I mean, like, you're holding on to the ball too long. Hit him off. Again, we saw the blitzes. There were two or maybe three that I might have recalled on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Him throwing the ball as he's backpedaling. What makes you think we were going to get anything off on that? Like, you're right. Where's the check down? Where's that other player, like one of the running backs, to be in the right spot to go ahead and dump that ball off? Yep. You know what I mean? If the majority of that team is coming in, you dump it off to the right person, you got a whole open field if you dump it off. But there was nobody to dump it off to. Mm-hmm. So it's like, where's the preparation for that shit?
Yeah. Now, Ruben Frank has a couple of these stats, which when you read them are kind of alarming when you think, from an offensive standpoint, the Eagles have been outscored 38-12 in the first half of their back-to-back losses to 49ers Cowboys, and they've been outscored 106-50 in the first half going back to the second Washington game. The last time the Eagles led at halftime was against Miami in Week 7. And the last time they scored more than 7 points in the first quarter was opening day versus the Patriots. It's the ninth time in franchise history the Eagles have trailed at halftime 6 weeks in a row, only the second time in 40 years. It's the 10th time they've trailed by a touchdown or more at halftime in 4 games in a row at half. So we go back to the point that if this offense doesn't get fired up early in the game, it's struggle bus. It's like back in college when you waited to the last minute to write a paper the night before when you could have got it done early. They gotta start fast.
Start fast, strike first, strike hard. No mercy, sir. Oh.
The fact that they haven't led at halftime since the Miami game is eye opening, man.
Sucks ass.
No, it does. It absolutely does suck ass. I think it speaks to a lot of things that's going wrong with this team. The play calling is something that it just reeks of last year, man. I got to be honest with you. It really does. I mean, Hollis made the point last year. We talked about, winning in spite of Jonathan Gannon, that defense playing well in spite of Jonathan Gannon. I think the first half of this year, that was a lot of what we saw was this offense had so many offensive, so much firepower in it that they were winning games and putting up points in spite of Brian Johnson. Mm. It feels the same way. And we saw how that script ended last year was that, the coordinators is kind of what prevented us from being able to win the Super Bowl. And the fact that we're going into the playoffs with coordinators that I don't trust, it's not a great feeling.
Yeah. Mm. And the funny part is they said that Sirianni is sending some plays in. He's probably sending in the run plays. Mm-hmm. That's what he's probably sending in because he's down there and he's got the pulse on the team. Brian Johnson has been calling the plays from what I know. Because Nick Scott relinquished those calls is because he wanted to be in tune with the game. Because that first year, remember, he was helping with the play calling and stuff. And then it would be like some times where he needed to throw the red flag or where he needed a timely timeout. So it's like he turned more into a head coach. I think he might need to step in because it needs to be a good run pass mix. As no offense touchdowns. Wow.
I will say though, for everybody that was in their feels about Vic Fangio leaving the building.
Right.
Anyone catch that game last night?
Yep.
Against Miami?
Yeah, man.
Absolutely embarrassed. They were up 27-14 with 2.5 minutes left. And they lost the game. So
that was I love Vic Fangio. I still love Vic Fangio because he was still heating it up. Would you like? I still like to see pressure.
Recently,
Didn't he lose money talking shit last year?
Yeah,
the fuck out of here.
Recently, there was fans that were outside the stadium with trash cans with the name Bradbury and Slay on it. Fire decide. Like, I'm like, come on, man. First of all, Darius Slay, regardless, the man has been injured as much as people might not want to think about. Maybe Slay might be injured. And we actually got news that he has an MCL, which will require some surgery. They were thinking about, I'm not exactly sure when they're going to do this, but Prime was there with me. I was told that it was going to be soon. So the news is not broke. They have not reported it. I got it from a very reliable source that he will be requiring surgery. And if that, if that's the case, we don't have Slay. For all you MFers talking about Slay being trash, wait till you see other cornerbacks do what he does. At the end of the day, don't do that shit. I mean, like, these are players that you want to support.
It was just uncalled for.
I think kind of what happened with that is what's up, Will? You earned it, bro. You earned it.
fuck you, Will. Can't I see you, I'm gonna choke you out.
I think that there was the kind of people viewed what happened last week, and it was kind of lighthearted. Nick Sirianni went out, gave those guys some cups of coffee, and it was like a lighthearted haha, run the ball. I remember that whole thing. This week it got more personal, and I think that the person that went out there and was doing that was expecting the same sort of reaction as last week. when in reality, like you're just being a dick. This is really
that's what you got. You won the award for being a dick. You weren't getting a cup of coffee. You weren't getting anything positive out of this shit. And you might have gotten the headline on the platform, social media, and all that shit. But bro, you just became like the biggest dickhead of all dickheads. Like it was just unnecessary. Don't get me wrong, I'm upset just as much as you are. But I mean, to go out there and do some stupid shit like that was just uncalled for.
I don't advocate for hanging out outside of anybody's job asking for their
money. Yeah, I'm not happy with Bradbury.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, I'm in that stadium on Sunday. I was frustrated. I was tired. I'm tired of seeing that man get beat this year. This year is not his year. Just straight up. Let's just call it how it is. It is not his year. Slay, he's been doing his things. He's been having his up, his downs, but he's been playing his game. The other thing that pisses me off is how people on social media are attacking the families. We were there with Jennifer Slay. I mean, like 5 minutes after we were with Jennifer Slay, we're seeing the Twitter, and it was just ridiculous on how some of these people were coming and talking about your husband and you. It's like, yo, what is that for? What is that going to get you?
And you know what the bullshit of it is too is that like the Slays are some of the most generous people that we have on the Eagles. They give out jerseys, they do all this stuff, all these giveaways. And how much you want to bet that some of those people that are sitting there bitching at them were people that were asking for jerseys, asking for free shit. Y'all are ungrateful.
Oh, where the banana pudding at?
Hey, I'm gonna just give you an example of like the generosity that we're talking about. Like we went there with standing room tickets. We were looking to get seats. She was like, "Oh, I heard you guys are here. You know, like, oh, I'll come check you guys." And she, you know, she's like, "Oh, I'll give you screenshots so you guys can get down to the lower level to see if you can get some seats." We almost got some seats. We were down there.
She did not have to do that.
And then while we're standing there, one of my friends from Twitter stopped by and was like, "Hey, Mrs. Slay, I love to get a jersey one time, blah, blah, blah. I've always tried to get one. I never could." She's like, "What's your at? Tell me what your at is." She says, "What do you mean?" "Well, I'm gonna send you a jersey. Just give me your address. I'll send you one."
Yep.
Signed jersey. She don't got to do shit like that. And the fact that people are out here, again, we've been doing this a long time. We don't, how many players' families have supported what we've done?
It's a small handful, man. Yeah.
You guys do a great thing, man. And, it's like the one thing that I hate to see through social media is some clown who's got a fake account.
It's always someone that's not showing their face.
I saw some of the tweets that are, and I was posting the thing, tell them don't let them put out your spark because you know it's, for every asshole like that is it's a bunch of people that appreciate what you do. And you don't want to ever deter anybody who's a good person to stop doing what they do because of one jerk. The one thing that I do know is that I don't think it's like if you think that makes you a diehard fan because you do silly shit like that. You're supposed to be trying to like pump your team up. Like to me, like the team, like how we feel right now. Yeah, this is what a true fan feels like because you feel the pain with them. And it's like listening to everybody and see, and doing what I do now as far as like going through this. I see what fans was feeling the entire time when I was on the 3-13 team. I was on the team getting their ass kicked. But it was like every week though that stadium was still filled with people, and it was like dude, it was like that's why like if you ever watch me play, I don't give a fuck what the score is. I'm not gonna be fucking embarrassed. I'm not laying down. And it's like, and I feel like when you have fans that back you like you guys do, it's like that inspires you to play more and give it your all. If it doesn't, it's like then you just out there for the money. It's like because it's like you out there for the love of the game and you get paid handsomely. I was like, but when you get your ass kicked, and a lot of people don't realize this too, is when you lose it. Sometimes teams look at that more when you losing. How does this person still play? Because you don't want a quitter on your team. Mm-hmm. It's like because it's like you never know when that quit will creep back up. So I just hope these guys can see that. And I didn't see any quit yesterday, but I saw a lot of guys who were tired and who kind of don't. It's like it's kind of hard to call them the Eagles right now because the way we got our ass handed to us like that. And it was some better guys that stepped up and were trying, but we needed more people to be trying. We didn't need to give the ball away those three times. We had to know that the opposing we are the marked man. We are the NFC champion, so it's like you're the marked man. And the other part to that is when we went to the Super Bowl, we didn't realize what it was going to be. We were the marked man. We ended up with a six and ten season or some shit like that. Man.
Mm. Now, going back to that quote with Fletcher Cox talking about we're going to see who the real dudes are.
Yeah.
When Fletcher Cox, he's a guy that doesn't really, he speaks when he he's not a super, super vocal, but when he speaks, I think that it's kind of like a messaging. I'm wondering who, if he's questioning someone in the locker room, that you hear Derek Gunn getting some comments from players about
anonymous players.
I don't like when
I hate that bullshit.
So as a player, a former player, when you hear something like that, what does that tell you about the locker room?
No, it don't tell me nothing about the locker room. I go in the locker room and say, which one of you hoes talking shit? Because because you're supposed to be family in that motherfucker. It's supposed to be us against them. Don't be having secrets and shit. Hey, if you're unhappy, get your punk ass out of here. Don't anonymously tell somebody or on the down low, the fuck out of here. What do you mean? I just hate when cats do that. You cannot personally trust them. And it's like everybody always do something. So it's like the anonymous quotes. No, I can't. Unless it's about somebody upstairs or something, an anonymous quote about your own locker room, about guys you go to war with. And we call games war. It's like because you try to go in and win as many battles as you possibly can. So at the end of the game, you win. You want to win as many of those. So who the hell is talking off the record to people?
I think it's the truth, though, man.
As much as the truth, though.
Yeah.
Put your name on it.
No,
don't
I agree.
Don't be a bitch. It's like that. Now they got all of us. It's like, because Prime, you want to know, don't you? Prime, you want to know who said this shit.
I definitely would have known.
You want to know who said this shit.
Who do you think it was?
I don't know.
I think it came from the offensive line, honestly.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think the offensive line wants to run the ball more. I think that's what it comes down to.
My thing is, Holler's got a point, though. You know what I mean? If you got a problem, you know what I mean? They talk about, like, Nick Sirianni went on TV before the game, a couple days before the game. We got problems. We talk about it. We keep it private. We keep it in-house. But you're not keeping it in-house. Somebody obviously went out the house and opened up their mouth. Anybody got something to say, say it. If we're supposed to be a team, a family, let's talk about it. Let's put it all out on the table. Let's fix our problem. Everybody here claiming they want to get back to the promised land. The only way you're going to get back to the promised land is putting this fucking puzzle back together. That's it. You know what I mean? Now this whole separation shit, bro, I thought we were done and long done with that shit when Carson went out the building.
Yeah.
Hey, when what's his name, went out the building.
Yep.
I think you have to. You definitely have to. I saw Sirianni speak today. I thought it was a little bit of word salad, but I just feel like
I would like to see, you know, probably the, you know, a team meeting with all the leaders, with him and the team leaders.
I would like to see a players only meeting. So, because we have to weed out the bitch. Yeah. We need to see, because, man, I don't give a fuck what's going on. You don't put our business out in the street. It's like sometimes people wonder what this means, but this is a house together. You know how strong this is? If your shit is like this, it's not that strong. If it gets like this, it's not that strong. This is how you're supposed to be. They're not like this right now, because somebody's talking about, oh, the robber, get the fuck out of here with that. An anonymous source. You fucking kidding.
Is that the same quote that you give to all your construction people too? I need the house to look like this.
Yes. I had to make sure. Hey, I do that. You know why I do that? Because the first OSHA fine, no matter what, is $80,000. So damn. I do need the house to look like that.
Yeah. I want to circle back to a comment Pete Nathan had earlier in the show.
What's that?
He says, we're not beating Seattle. We haven't done that in three presidents, Obama, Trump, and Biden. Last time we beat them is November 2nd, 2008. Well, I got news for you, Pete. Mm-hmm. We never lost to the Jets until earlier this year either. Mm-hmm. That was like a 40, 50-year streak we had going on.
So Pete,
records are meant to be broken.
I'm going
to
see you.
I got to tell me.
I got to see you guys the picture. I beat them out there. I was in Sports Illustrated off of that game. Matt Hasselbeck, he threw a pass, and I hit it so hard, it was like a silence in the crowd, and it sounded like I was playing volleyball by myself.
So you were on the Eagles the last time they beat the Seahawks?
We beat them in 2000.
Oh, that's what you're talking about, in 2000. Yeah. Gotcha.
You know,
I
haven't really turned off many games in my lifetime, but I did the game where Marshawn Lynch broke like 1,000 tackles.
Yeah,
that game.
I
the first game I ever turned off.
Actually, I was with the Carolina Panthers that around that time. I was like, damn.
Oh, so it was your fault.
Me. No, it wasn't.
It was your fault.
Yeah, they would have needed me. He ran, and I called Tracy Porter, because if you look at their play, he ran over Tracy Porter like two or three times. He ran over him at like the line of scrimmage, and then he came back and he ran over and stiff-armed him again. Yeah, he's like, Bob's like, fuck those refs. Liam, what's up? Liam from British.
Liam is reporting from over the other side of the pond. He says the Birds are relying too much on Jalen, whether it's throwing or design runs. Some of the big players need to stand up and be counted on both sides of the ball. I do. When you look at the I just feel like if Jalen is hurt, right, these design runs for him – let's run Swift a little bit here. We don't need to run with him. But I do feel like with the routes and where we're successful at and where they're not utilizing them, the numbers, the analytics speak to where, you know, where they're at. And some of the analytics are pretty interesting when you look at it.
Are you card carrying members?
I got mine's over on the desk with my cash, but
I got some real quick numbers I just wanted to share throwing the ball. These are from Shane Half. Pretty good stuff here. Throwing the ball between the numbers. The Eagles are eighth in yards per attempt and sixth in success rate when throwing between the numbers, but they are 30th in percentage of passes thrown between the numbers.
Wait a minute, you mean outside the numbers?
Mm-hmm. He said life gets much easier for a defense when they don't have to worry about covering 60% of the field. On running back screens, the Eagles are fourth in the NFL in success rate on running back screens, but they are 28th in usage. Slants, the Eagles are seventh in success rate on slants, but they rank 22nd in usage. Curls, the Eagles rank first in success rate on curls, but they rank 28th in
usage. And using them, because they always try to go for the gusto too much.
Yep.
It's like 100%. you have to bait them into going for, and then you go for the gusto.
It's like a chef that should have, you know, a solid 10, 12 meals that he can cook all the time. But instead, he's every single night he's trying something different. Just work on what works, man.
Yeah, and the funny thing too is like a lot of times when I'm looking at Jalen, I was thinking of what Prime said about he was holding the ball too long. I was like, But that's, I think that's what the anonymous person is talking about. They're looking at the success rate of that Dallas was having because they were running intermediate routes to get open. If you look at their route tree, I was like, damn. And then I went back and because you could get the space view, and you see it's nothing going on in the middle. All that shit is like going deep and outside or over and shit. Mm-hmm. It's like we need some I guess just some window dressing underneath to so that he can like Prime said, go to that first read. Go to that read underneath. Every route shouldn't be a nine. Every route shouldn't be a nine route or mm-hmm. seven. Seven is a post. It shouldn't be that. I was like, run like he was saying, run some curls, run some slants. You know, you pull them off you. Creativity and keeping the team up balance. Dictating to them what you're gonna do, not taking dick. Keep it apologies.
Yeah. For the second straight week, I don't think we have any offensive MVPs, but I'm gonna give man MVP for that pass to Oz.
It was a spark, man. I know the whole
that was dropped into a puddle.
I know, yeah, because every spark we had. Every spark we had, as I say, was like, damn, a tornado and a storm coming at the same time. Yeah. It reminded me, you know what it reminded me of? It was like, I did a trip down there one time, and it was when we got our ass kicked by Dallas, but everybody in the stadium didn't know that there was a really bad tornado that hit that entire city. And I was actually at the hotel, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden, it sounded like somebody was throwing rocks at the window. And then all of a sudden I heard a giant alarm and the lights start flashing on and off. I was like, oh shit. And it's like, immediately go down to the basement. I was like, what the fuck is the basement in this bitch? I was like, so it was like literally a hurricane, not a hurricane, but tornado. A tornado that hit that time. That's how I felt when this time. Mm. That it was like the tornado hit the field again. And it was like, we did nothing about it. I was like, oh, I don't know. This is we need to get our head out of the dirt on this one.
Let's see. JD Stroh says it concerns me that the team as a whole was struggling. Our three superstars fumbled, no offensive touchdowns. Special teams trick played, fake punt only ended in a field goal. You know, you talk about getting six, and you were in, you know, the red zone five times. You only got six points.
Yeah,
6 points.
And not only that, I mean, our defense is kind of just like bleeding like a sieve, man. I mean,
I
every single possession they have is a touchdown. You can't trade threes for sixes, man.
I know. And it's like, you know what the jacked up part is? We'll get to 30 forever, and they'll find some way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
it's a lack of heart, man. It's a lack of heart, and it's a lack of game planning.
And it's like I don't. It's like I have to watch their practice again, because I know what it takes to put together a good defense that could be great. And it's like I don't know what they're practicing, because it's to me it seems like it's too many mistakes, too many motherfuckers running free in our secondary and stuff. It's like you need to walk through that, you need to run through it, walk through it, and walk through it, and then run through it again, because that's the only repetition. Over and over again, that's what makes you better. I just saw it's like with the one blitz that we had, I was hoping that it hit, because it was like we were just like this far from it, and that lets me know that they don't practice it enough for it to be like clockwork. Like it's like when I was just talking to Doc, and we were talking about how we used to walk through blitzes. We used to run through blitzes with defense before we even went to blitz, period. And then the blitzes would be a part of all the team periods as well. It's like I don't think that they practice like that anymore, because your playbook is something you're supposed – if you're truly in this to win this, your playbook is something you should truly know, because everybody needs to be on the same page. And I'm really not seeing that.
Mm.
So, and it's like we lose contain too much. And it's okay. The same person is in there. I was like, man, I would be livid out there You lost force. I done busted in the backfield, and he gets out the front side because your punk ass is looking is nosy, and you get looking inside. We don't run that many stunts. Joe's Desai is like he's not listening to anything I said.
You should be the consultant.
Yeah,
you're the consultant we need. I just want to give a shout out to Kelly Wilson. First time we got to meet him, he was at the tailgate on Sunday. And it's always really great to meet you guys.
You got about Carell.
Oh, and shout out to Carell Buckhalter.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome. We saw him out in KC as well. That dude was tough as nails, man.
That's my guy.
Tough as nails.
Nobody knows I played with his brother as well.
Oh, word?
Yeah, well, his brother got in trouble during the offseason. And it's Chris Buckhalter. We were both undrafted free agents, but I played against his brother when his brother played for Southern Miss.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I played against him in college, and then we were together as undrafted free agents. And then after our first year, he got in trouble during that offseason and had to go to prison. It's still there now.
It was cool to meet Carell Buckhalter.
Yeah. You met him in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, I met him in Kansas City. Yeah,
he came down again because he lived in Dallas and gotcha. he had all the people and stuff down there. And shout out to my boy, Reese. Boris is on there. That's my buddy from college and stuff. So
nice. Shout out to Trox. He says, being an Eagles fan is one hell of a drug. I'm telling you, we was riding high for a cool minute. I think Hollis, you spoke to it about winning all these games, and then I just think it's just the manner that we lost. If it was a shootout, it's a shootout. It's cool. You're seeing execution. My thing is lack of execution week in and week out for the last
game was over midway through the third quarter. To be honest with you, in the second quarter, you could tell the direction the entire game was heading.
Well, you know what is and Hollywood, you are correct because I laid down and was holding my pillow because I was missing my sea turtle James because I forgot to bring him. Sorry, deepest apologies. I shared too much already. But then we got that spark with the sack force fumble. The sack force fumble and the touchdown. And I'm like, okay. So I roll back over, and then I was like, really? I should have just stayed asleep.
Yep. No, I mean, it was the writing was on the wall, how that game was going to go, unfortunately, from very early on.
Yeah.
I never wish for the second half to come as fast as it did.
I was going to say, when did you start to realize that this is a lost game? At what point in the game?
Pretty much when Dowdle hit that 1 yard touchdown run and it went up 17-3. That's where I was just like screaming for the second half to hurry up and just come. Like, just hold it down to this so we could go into the second half, make the fucking adjustments that we need to make. But no, they went ahead and scored another touchdown. So it was just like, shit. You know what I mean? Like, I was good. I mean, I'm going back and forth with some of these fans. Like, yo, it ain't over until it hits zero. But, man, it was just like they just weren't backing me up. I was talking, but they weren't backing me up. They weren't backing me up at all. I mean, fumble after fumble.
Y'all supposed to be backup dancing. Oh.
The funny thing is like it was, you know, because, like, it was – I'm not going to say it was a cool experience, but just being around, like, thousands of Cowboys fans, I was like, I'm all right. I'm here. I'm going to take whatever we get. But I'm not gonna lie. I actually met a lot of cool Cowboy fans. Cowboy fans down there are actually a lot different.
Than guys like
Will up here in the Northeast. it's just a little different. And the other thing that, you know, I'm trying to pull positives out of this trip. But
Hold on. You didn't have a good time leading.
I was getting there, but it's
like the positive part is, and I said this earlier. We had a good time leading up to the game. The game was a disappointing letdown, and that's why the funny part about that too is like we kicked it with a bunch of quality Cowboy fans because some Cowboy fans are irrational. You all right, Prime? Yeah. You cover your mouth next time, you know.
Sorry.
But I'm just, but no, it's like, it was like we had a good time leading all the way up to the game, man. It's like the flight was cool. We got out, the bus was there, and our luggage was there like right away. And it's like everything was cool. Then we partied. Then we ate at that Mexican place. I had unlimited tacos. Now, don't tell me, as a man, as a human being, unlimited tacos, delicious tacos.
I believe that you had unlimited tacos. Yes. I don't think that they were prepared for Tank to show up.
The one thing that I wanted to point out was like you don't really see it on TV, mm-hmm. But the amount of, you know,
green.
No, the amount of the fan base, there's a, you know, I say 50% of that stadium was probably of Mexican descent. And it was cool. It was cool to see they had like they had showcased the guy with a flag,
right,
the sombrero, and they were playing like these, you know, songs that, you know, they all culturally knew. I was like, yo, what song is this? Because everybody knew it, yeah. And I was like, what song was that? But it was cool to see that because, you know, they don't show that on TV as much. I don't think like
now, Gil, if you look at the crowd too. A lot of those Mexicans was Eagles fans too.
Yeah, true.
They were. It's like, I ended up meeting a bunch of Eagles fans out down in Texas at the one that I'm telling you about with the hurricane, because literally we did a tailgate, and I think I told you guys about the tailgate we did with fucking Bill Bates. Are you fucking kidding me? But in any event, it was like about 3,000 or 4,000 Cowboy fans. And about 1,500 Eagles fans, and they had the mic and the stage and stuff. They were talking crap the entire time. And guess what? They made their fatal mistake of doing Hollywood.
What'd they do?
They gave me the microphone. Hey, so then they was like, "Why'd you do that?" I was like, "Really?
You gave me the microphone."
You gave me the microphone after she just like talked. The girl, it was like a girl and a dude just talking shit about the birds the entire time. And like, yeah, I was like, really? I thought this was supposed to be a tailgate. We supposed to be kumbaya. We sabbatico. I was like, and then you had the nerve to give me the mic literally after you just talked so much shit. And then when I got up there,
they did it to themselves.
Yeah, and yes, they did. Because I was not nice. I led off with the Eagles chant. and then I ended with the Eagles song. But in between time, I let them know each and every time they screw the pooch by getting in the playoffs and losing in the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
And they haven't been to the. And I told them the last time that they were they went to a Super Bowl or NFC Championship game, it was in the mid 90s. so you keep on talking. Like I told them I saw. A jacket that says Super Bowl champ 5 times, but that's it. I was like, but they all those rings are made out of clay though, and all your playoff tapes you have to watch on VHS or beta, and then I ended it with starting the fight song for my Eagle brethren. I never want to do that again because the way that we did it this time. I love the way we did it this time because we were partying with our own, mm-hmm. And that's like you really had to do it. And I think that's why Prime. Like I never seen Prime this sad before. I think that's why he's so sad is because we had a good time. We had a tremendous time.
I was like,
but the game was a kick square in the fucking nuts.
Yeah,
well, you did not see it coming. It's like. Hey, what's it on? Again.
I was, my intentions were to go into that stadium. I mean, like from the rip, people, you know, the chain that I had on was on fire. Like everybody was laughing at it. They were loving it. Yeah, definitely mm-hmm. Shout out to Rich and Crafty Jones for the chain. I wore the whole trip in the hotel, restaurants, diners. I went everywhere with it. I went to this spot called Billy Bob's. Where there was massive amount of fans in there. I mean, there was It was no hesitation, man. Like, and then when I got in that stadium, I was all over the place and I was running my mouth to everybody. You know what I mean? And this is just what I do. I love to have a good time, and it's all out of respect. The fans there, you know, they're great. You know what I mean? And Gail, you're right. I mean, I told you, the fans over there are definitely different from the fans over here. And we were having a good time. I had these guys in front of me, behind me, running their mouths. Even their girls were running their mouths at me, and they had every right to. They had every right to. Now, you know, so don't get me wrong. Some of these girls, you know, I asked the one girl, how'd you become a fan? Oh, because my boyfriend's a fan. I was like, all right, conversation's over. We're done there. All right, I'm going to go ahead and on to the next one. You know, that's just the way it was. And then leaving that place, like, on the way there, I was running my mouth to a line of fans. When I walked out, I went back to that same spot that I was talking shit to. And I had no choice but to go over there and handshake all of them.
Yeah, this dude,
our ass to us.
We were walking by, and this little 5-year-old kid was talking about rings, and Prime was like, "You weren't even born yet." Like, I was like, "Bro,
Prime, fuck that." The next time you see somebody like that, because a little kid came up, an 8-year-old was with a Ezekiel Elliott jersey on. Talk about the fire rings. I was like, hey, you were not even, wasn't even a drunken grope session in the backseat of a Chevy when they won their last ring. You're 8 years old. The hell out of my face. They say, but he's a kid. He learned a valuable lesson. Don't come to the Eagles function with cowboy stuff on trying to get an autograph.
You know, the comments are popping tonight. Mm-hmm. If we don't get to your comment, that means there's a lot of comments. I'm a half hour behind. But shout out to everyone in the comments, fired up.
Rack Shack's flexing in the comments that night.
Yeah,
he was living in Dubai.
He's like, I was living in Dubai when I was driving my Lamborghini down by the beaches.
Down by the beaches.
I got a newfound respect for actual cowboys at rodeos and stuff and like ranchers and shit. So I met.
Yeah, what the.
I met a random this guy, you know.
Did y'all go to the stockyard?
Yeah, that's what I'm about
how,
to.
How long did y'all stay?
We stayed for hours. So we were out there at this, we were out here just living our best lives. And we met all these cowboys, like real cowboys, that they were, it's like an area where a lot of cowboys go to vacation. So they come from the ranch, they come here for the weekend to just chill out. So that, you know. So we started learning all this, you know, this stuff about cowboys, their hats. So if you got, it's all about what they're made of, if it's beaver or rabbit. So if there's a percentage of beaver that's put in the hat, so they'll be like, hey, you got 50% beaver. You know, they'll judge you on your hat.
You're making beaver jokes.
They also judge you on your belt buckle.
Exactly.
And
what else?
And they also judge you on your cowboy boots. So if you come in with some whack ass boots, they will be calling you
Amazon boots.
Yeah, they'll call them Amazon boots. So they'll call you an Amazon cowboy. That's a real thing. So if I judge you for your sneakers, it's like them judging you for your boots.
I was trying to explain to Gail, they treat their boots and their hats like we treat how Gail treats his Jordans and his New Era caps. You could relate. You could relate. You can't go in there with, you know what I mean, for Sheezy's. Like, you got to go in there with the real deal. And we got an Uber driver, like, yo, he had me dying because he was like, oh, yeah, a bunch of these tourists come in here with their Amazon boots. I was rolling. If I could have jumped out of the car and rode down that street, that's how hard I was laughing. Like, yo, I can't believe that shit. Like, it was funny as shit. But, and then you have that instinct as you're getting out of the car, you're going around looking at all these people, and I'm over here looking at boots. Like, yo, those boots don't look shit like those boots.
And the boots cost thousands.
Thousands, 1,500.
Yeah, we go into a boot store, and they wanted 2 stacks, 3 stacks for a pair of boots.
Exactly.
I'm like, holy shit.
There
was one moment where we're at a nice fancy hotel because, you know, Vince is scouting for his next destination for next year.
Correct.
And I felt like the cast of Yellowstone came out of the damn hotel. I was like, holy shit. Like, it was crazy. And then their accent is just like,
Do they all get the bolo ties too?
Wow. No, it wasn't no ties. It was just the hats, the Carhartts, you know what I mean? Yeah. Their boots. Yep. Like, yeah, it was now, just that type of scenery.
Now, we were just talking about the beaver stuff, and
here we go again.
Well, no, they would take the back in the day, but as a contraceptive, they would give the woman ground up beaver's testicles.
You're making that up.
No, look it up. I don't make a bit of anything. I was like, really? I was like, it was used as a contraceptive back in the day, so that women wouldn't get pregnant.
It's an hour and 11 in. I think we're officially off the rails. We're talking about beaver testicles.
Well, he said the beaver part, and it just rang a bell. You tell Ivan I'm in his mom's bathroom.
Alrighty then.
Ivan, he's the one who said it. I was like, there's like some fat ass dude got on plane. He's like, you fit in that seat? I was like, wow. I guess every fat guy that walked by wants to have a joke. Yeah, you guys don't run into this. I'm a big guy, thanks. But every time somebody's like, "You make me look small," you still look like shit. What do you mean? you haven't even walked by a treadmill, Dick Cheney. What the fuck you mean? I was like, it's like this. It's like fat on fat crime. Stop it. That's not, you're not gonna win with me because I have no chill. Because he was like, the dude was like, oh, you fit in that chair? I was like, you about to sit down, aren't you? Yo, fat ass. But no, it was this whole other thing. $100, it was A.J. Brown. Somebody, who do you guys think it was?
I'm not going to even say.
I do. I hate Josiah, too, because she just be talking. And they just be Carson trying to fuck her, so I'm sorry.
It was Wentz. It was Wentz.
That's probably Carson. Any with the Rams now on the practice squad?
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting. So let's be honest. What is it going to take for the Eagles to right this ship? I mean,
I'd recommend pulling their heads out of their asses. That's right.
They control their own destiny from this point on, man. And again, not worrying about San Fran, not worrying about Dallas. You got to worry about yourselves. You got to worry about these next four games. You can't tell go them in Prime. There. You can't go in there, you know, I'm expecting to just roll over these guys. We've been having that attitude on a lot of these teams that we played, and we've just been getting through on the skin, you know what I mean, of our necks just to win these games. So you can't – I mean, look, I'm not going to take nothing. That kid last night looked good. He looked good in there. And he was hitting those slant passes. And what's been killing us this year? Slant passes. So if they figure that shit out against us, they might have a fucking chance to go ahead and ruin our season. Let's just keep it real.
Are you talking about the Seahawks?
I'm talking about the Giants. I ain't even worried about the Seahawks. Like, I'm worried. We got two more games against them.
I'm not. I can't bring myself to that. I'm sorry. I'm
worried about the Seahawks now. That's what we can't do as fans. We can't skip over the Seahawks. We have to channel our energy right now into kicking the Seahawks' teeth in, kicking their beak off their fucking face. And ruining their playoff lives because they could be the team that we play in a wild card. So we get them out of the way now. Don't bullshit. Go out here in the business sense and kick their ass. And who keeps business? Sirianni doesn't make it. Everybody keeps talking about Sirianni. Sirianni is the thing that makes us go. He's a competitive coach.
But he gets blamed for the game plan too, man. I'm not taking no. I'm telling you. He's giving me a lot of word salad today. I was like, bro. I've been listening to a lot of his press conferences, and I ride with him, but today was like word salad. I didn't really want to. I didn't even finish it.
And you know the funny part, too, is I like a word salad because if you think about a word salad, that means he's not going to point the finger at the three people who had the fumbles where we were. That could have been 21 points. And as a head coach, you can't, it's like, hey, we had a good game plan going, but we had three fumbles. Yeah. And it's like, coaches don't fumble. I don't give a fuck what nobody else say. Going, it's like you, yeah, fuck the Niners. When you as a player, when you fumble the ball or when you a turnover, it's hard to come back from that. It's hard to come back to overcome the turnover battle. Okay, and we've been losing it pretty much like Prime said. Like we 10-3, but we've been losing the turnover battle. We've been losing the turnover battle, but our offense has still been pulling our ass out of the fire. But I don't know, Joe Desai needs to, whatever he's doing at fucking halftime, he needs to start the fucking game off with that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you notice every time after the first half. All of a sudden, we have the answer. What the fuck is that shit doing at the beginning of the game?
It's almost as if he is just reacting instead of like forming an actual game plan. He is good at making the adjustment at halftime, but like, where's all this film watching during the week and coming up with a solid game plan to start the game?
Exactly. Yeah, because I'll be watching. It's like sometimes people ask me why I watch certain games. I was like, because that's an upcoming opponent on our schedule, mm-hmm. and it's like in that. And that's from when I was a player, I did the exact same thing. I was like, but it seems like every time, like we gave up, in most of the games leading up to this, we would give up points. Lead. That's why we hadn't led in the game because we've been giving up points and stuff. But then after that, we shut people down. It's like, so how come you don't do that at the fucking beginning?
Yeah. David says, still haven't beat the Cowboys in Dallas since January 1st, 2017. That game, when people ask me, what's your favorite Dallas Eagles game? I say that one was my favorite.
It wasn't the one when they coming out the Super Bowl run and I was playing in the game and they was about to run in the end zone and we got the 104 yard thing.
Because when I seen them beat them Cowboys at home that badly and that dominating.
We was at their place and they were, see, the thing is, you don't know they were coming off a Super Bowl victory. So, you know what? It's okay. I'll be okay.
So what I was saying is I love the fact that the fashion they did it and the dominating fashion they did it. To me, that was like, that was the period on the sentence when I knew they were going to be a Super Bowl champion.
Jose is right.
Jose says three fumbles near the red zone and 95 yards worth of penalties. It's hard to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely is.
It's like the fumble with Devontae. That one, like that was like a kick square on the tip of my dick.
Now that one like happened when, you know, I think the game was pretty much out of reach.
Yeah, but
that was the official nail in the coffin. You're right. Yeah, like it was the nail.
But it's
in the
like coffin. That's why I said a kick on the. Yeah,
we heard you.
Yeah, I know. I'm not gonna say it again. I'm just saying.
Before we get our questions out,
hold on. Wait a minute. So the pickle juice game. What are your favorite game?
No, I told you what my favorite.
Do you know why the pickle juice game is my favorite game? Do you know like why? Pickles? No, because at the end of that season. MC such and such, Troy Aikman had retired, and so we were in the playoffs. And he was like, "The defense wasn't that good." I was like, "We fucking retired you? Are you fucking kidding me?" We sacked him 8 times, and we hit him another 10. Mm. Yeah, and then so then at the end of the season, you talk about, "Oh, the defense isn't that good, really." You saw it up close and personal. Nuts in your mouth. Yeah, you know. Go ahead. Sorry, defense. Yeah. Apologies, guys.
Anyway, Philly Horse Chips. If you guys are looking to book something, if you're trying to go out to Seattle.
Oh, sorry. My bad. My daughter. Sorry, Hadia. Sorry. My daughter. Sorry.
So we're, like I said, Philly Sports Chips. If you're trying to book a trip, there's going to be a tailgate for the Giant game now. So, which will mean something. Now, the Eagles have to win out here. So, if you're looking to book a trip, Seattle, there'll be a nice little tailgate.
Yes, we got Seattle. I'm heading to Seattle Friday. Ah, fuck. I gotta go to fucking Newark.
You're not sorry.
I am going to Newark, but to are you guys White Castle fans? Who's a real White Castle fan?
I mean, I like White Castle.
North Bergen spot.
Oh yeah, I'm going to Newark Airport and on the way there way back.
So you're gonna fly on a plane after eating White Castle?
I'm gonna make sure I get there. I'm gonna get there like 3 hours before so I can.
I'm calling TSA.
Street justice. Like, justice.
I was like, this guy's bringing it.
It'll be gone long before I get on the plane.
We'll see. Yo, the funny thing on the plane ride over there in the plane, they had Hollis's big ass in the back with us.
No, that's what. Well, see, the thing was,
that was the first time I ever seen Hollis in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I was like, dude, if they don't have anything available in first class, I can't just push anybody out of first class.
Or the way you were walking into the plane seemed like you were forcing somebody out of first class.
No, I wasn't. When I was walking in, I'm a priority. Remember, I told you I'm a gold member, so I get to go on first. I didn't tell you that prime when I was down at the priority lane.
You did.
And I just got back to gold because I was platinum, and then I used some miles to fly, some family members and stuff and blah blah blah. But it's like I got back to go, and so I get to go on the plane first. So, and no matter where my seat is, as I was cracking up because Prime was laughing. He was like, "I was like, dude, if you knew how many times I've ridden back there, it's no big deal."
It's the first time I've seen you ride back there, so I mean, and that's
but
why.
But do you know what? But do you know why I was back so far? Because the last time I was riding up front. They gave me, I couldn't get in first class because it was sold out. So they gave me the seat right behind. And the line to get into the bathroom in first class was so long, I really had to go. So I had to go back to the back. And so going back to the back, I knocked everybody hat and earphones off their fucking head on the way back and on back up. And so it's like, so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna sit right back there where the bathroom is. So when I got to go, I'll just go. That's convenience.
Shout out to Nady in the building.
Chris Nady.
He got that photo up. He was actually walking by as the slaves were there. But questions. We actually shoot your questions. And if you guys see a question in the comments,
as you can see, my daughter's lady, I know idea. Hey, babe, thanks for watching. I'm a priority. Period. You see it. Don't act like y'all not impressed.
I don't see any questions, but I do see.
It's not a question.
I just had one up.
Kylie Rigo gives me PS. You know what the funny thing was? That Kylie Rigo play. That have you guys ever seen a play like that? Because I played and I've never seen.
No, I've never seen. I've never on the same play.
Yeah, I've never seen. And the face mask they call, he grazed his face mask. He didn't even touch it. I rewound it twice, and he grazed his face mask. It was just a case of, I feel like it was, it's like, and it's hard to say because we're Birds fans, but that was bullshit. Mm. Complete and utter. And the funny part is listening to the commentator say, I don't see a personal foul.
Right.
Because you always have to take the personal foul. So it's you, come on. It was another way we got fucked up. Go ahead.
Bob wants to know, is Hurts following the game plan and script, or is he going off script? Either way, it's both Sirianni's fault.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think he's going on script and what they're showing him. It's like the thing about it, the part I think, and about this to go to what Bob said, I think that that we're not doing enough in the passing game over the middle and intermediate. We're going for the gusto. Because if you listen to sometimes when, and this is against Sirianni too, Sirianni says he's passing to run because he wants to pass to get ahead. Mm-hmm. And he wants to run to keep the lead. I was like, but sometimes you had to run to pass, and then you run to keep the lead. It's like if you don't run the ball and do things to get the defense off balance, because it's some, those intermediate, like this, the crap that we saw on that fourth and nine play, that defense is too fast for that bullshit. Mm-hmm. That was a bull. It's like we had to know that as a team though. So.
Who's typing loud? Mr. Iflo says White Castle is called Murderers Burgers in the Hood.
Murder Burgers? They're delicious to me. I don't know. It's a delicious taste sensation, and I ain't even got to be drunk to eat them.
You know, you can go to White Castle on Valentine's Day, and they have a
waiter in there. Why do you know that?
Look it up.
I'm just saying.
You go there on Valentine's Day and what?
They have like a waiter and they make it like real special. So, I mean, you should go there on Valentine's Day.
I'm truly disturbed why you know that. I don't know.
I'm surprised you don't know that, Mr. White Castle.
I mean, because I've never been on Valentine's Day. I'm just saying.
Shit.
I know, you know. They're one of my favorite places to go. I was like, but it's like an adventure.
Forget Ruth Chris. Go to White Castle.
Yeah, I don't think she's going for that, though.
Hey, real one. So we got a question from Marissa here. Mm-hmm. Okay, why didn't we get a penalty on Johnson when his helmet came off and the defender shoved his face?
There was a penalty for hands to the face.
Yeah, there was. That was a penalty for hands to the face. Actually, that wasn't a penalty. That the particular one she's talking about, because the other it was another one that was hands to the face. It was the second one where his nose got bloody on it, and it was like, I know what you're talking about.
I thought that happened on the same play.
No, it did. It happened like a little bit later, and it should have been another because they when they highlighted it, that's when they was like, it should have been hands to the face.
Chris asks, why does the guy on the top right look like BG? I've got that a million times this weekend. I got Darius Rucker as well.
is this your world?
That one definitely is more accurate than anything.
Shout out to Vic from Filthy in Philly. He sent a picture to his wife and said, "Yo, I just met Darius Rucker," and he signed he sent the picture back to her, and she was excited.
You're a wild boy.
So this has definitely been the feels podcast. A lot of people have been their feels in the comments. I think you know everyone has the right to be upset. We are a 10-3 football team. Like Prime said, you know, control what you control. These next 4 weeks really determine who and what this football team is.
I have a question.
Put your hand down.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Prime, is it still Taco Tuesday in your house?
Yeah, man. So the more you put your hand down, the quicker I could get to my tacos.
I heard the people in the background. And I just some people on the Philly Sports Trip was like, they don't want to see another taco because that's all they were giving. That was the only place they went to. But I kind of want a taco right now.
Nah, the tacos were great.
You're delaying his taco time.
So Prime, can I come over for dinner? It's like
anytime you want, bro.
I catch an Uber over there.
You always had an open invitation. You're the one that's bougie.
So you got to wrap it up. We have to wrap it up.
You're gonna let him blow your toilet up like that?
It's gonna be like the World War One museum all over.
I bring my own spray.
So real quick, Chris asked, are you guys expecting to win the division? Yes, no.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Gail, let's just go back to what we said in the plane yesterday. A lot of people are giving up on us. We're not giving up. We've been there since day one, and we're still supporting. It's not over. We got four games. But, I mean, come on. We know this team better than anybody. It's all on them. They got to get themselves together, man. That's it. That's just all it is. It starts with Seattle. Then you got the Giants. Then you got Arizona. So it's on them to go ahead and put this shit together and win this thing out. That's all to it.
I saw it in the reflection of the glass.
That's for Chris. That is for Chris. Now, Ivan has a question. What are the positives, if any?
Still got the best record in the league.
Yeah.
Sharing the best record, but yes.
We are sharing the best record. And it's like you had to look at the way some of the veterans played. And the other part, too, is what you guys said, Fletch said, you're going to see who's going to stand up. You're going to challenge. That's the way to challenge the young guys. That's why you need veterans on the team. We have a bunch of young guys to see who's going to step up.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chase asks, who do y'all blame more for the defense, Desai or Sirianni?
To be honest with you, I kind of am blaming. It's a mix between Desai and personnel for me.
Yeah. I think, I was going to say, because it's like, it's what, like when, like Hollywood, it's like, we look at the personnel and it's like, we don't have the same personnel as we had last year.
Safeties were weak, linebackers were weak, the cornerbacks haven't been showing up so much this year, the defensive line hasn't been getting to the quarterback. I mean, just,
and I love what Sweat things, said, man. And I love what Sweat said. He said, we better than this. He's like, our front four need to get home. He's like, basically, he said, fuck a pressure, fuck a quarterback hit. We need to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's what I'm saying. It's like, when you listen to some of the veteran people who've been here and who've been to the promised land, that's what you need to hear from those guys. It's mm-hmm. like, we haven't hit home. He's like, quarterback pressures and quarterback hits. That don't mean nothing. We need to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear one of the defensive linemen say that, and then the other one and one of the interior guys say, we're going to see who got the dog in them. We're going to see who's coming to play. Because everybody ain't coming to play.
Hmm. Harold asks, will Slay play next game? That's a good question. Again, I was told that the surgery was going to be this week. I was like super shocked. You could ask Prime. I was like, what? And again, that's not the news I wanted to hear, but we'll see. Because I was thinking in my head, like, if he can play or if they're thinking that they shut him down for the next couple games.
Mm-hmm.
God, that shit.
You're going up against DK Metcalf this week. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know.
Exactly.
But Drew Lock is scoring, so.
843 Philly fan says, do you all see CJ GJ coming back if he doesn't resign with Detroit?
No. I think that's a guy that takes things personally, and it seems like he took things very personally on the way out the door.
We don't got no room for that shit.
Todd asks, what do we expect from Shaq Leonard this week?
What did I say last week? Mm-hmm. I said the exact same thing about. I said when we got Kevin Byard earlier this year, it took some times to adjust. And Kevin Byard was traded to us while he was still doing well.
Yeah.
Shaq Leonard came in here and he got cut from his previous team because he wasn't performing. And there was a lot of people that were expecting Shaq Leonard to come in here and be a saving grace. Like, you just got to kind of look at it realistically, man. He's a Band-Aid. That's what he is.
Yeah, but the one thing that you do have to look at as well is, he's a Band-Aid. And they were just trying to – The one thing that I wanted to make sure that everybody knew is, like, I think he's going to be a different reprieve because he's been in the system a little bit longer. But the one thing is, like, they cut him because he probably wouldn't take a pay cut,
mm-hmm.
and they were probably trying to renegotiate with him. And when you're not going to take a pay cut, they were like, let's get you off the books before you cost us too much, because they still owe him $6.1 million. So.
Ivan asked, how do you guys feel about Prescott saying he wanted to put 50 on us at a press conference? Hey, that's what you do against rivals. You make them pay. So it is what it is.
I don't – with him saying that, that's why he hasn't got past the first round of the playoffs too often. I don't – you don't really go and do that because you might have to see – you have to see us again. That's one thing you don't do. You don't do that. You don't do the bullshit, the Bush League bullshit.
Yeah. Nah, it's cool. I mean, hey, listen, he felt like that, you know what I mean? And you're right. I can't wait to see that guy again. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
I'm keeping receipts. I'm keeping receipts of all this shit.
Say it again, Prime.
It's all good. I'm keeping receipts of all this shit. So, you know what I mean? When we see you again, Just remember that, you know what I mean? You made that comment.
Taylor asked if Slay has surgery, is he out for the – I believe it wouldn't be out for the season.
Nah. I mean, the way we talked about it, if it was to happen today, sometime this week, he's looking to go ahead and recover, get enough time to recover, and be back in time for the playoffs.
Lewis asked, any update on Blake Ship medical minute, Evan?
I'm on taco watch right
hey,
now.
Hey man, bro. You're always on the medicals, man. You're the medical
I'm
producer
off the clock right now. Doctor, you ain't giving me overtime with this medical shit.
You're supposed to be always the medical guy.
I mean,
medicals would have been good 15 minutes ago.
You got the whole damn graphic and everything.
I got you, Ev.
Yeah.
No updates on blanket shit.
Thanks,
now we don't know shit right now, and we're waiting patiently just like the rest of y'all.
Not only that, that was a we're gonna wrap this up real quick because Ev said so. But that was a cheap block on Blankenship that did not get called. That was a crackback block on him while he was out of the game that did not get called.
That took him out of the game, right?
Yeah, I feel like he's one of our best safeties. We have to come up with a quality name other than White Chocolate.
But before we get out of here, big shout out to Philly Sports Trips. Make sure you want to book a trip. Follow them at Sports Trips PHL. Make sure you give a shout out to Conshohocken and Italian Bakery. If you want to get a tomato pie for your tailgate or party, that's the place to do so. And shout out to Bud Light and Red Bull for holding us down at all tailgates. But let's go to last word. We'll go with you, Hollis. Last word.
I thought we were trying to get out of here, so I didn't really prepare any last words.
You can just give us a
problem. That's good enough. That's good enough.
Okay, all right, that's good enough. Evan, your turn.
I got the same thing to say as Hollis. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's everybody's in their fields right now, but ultimately, if the Eagles come back and they look right next week, everybody's mood is going to completely shift. So that's what I'm holding out hope for. I think that we could beat this Seattle team, especially if we have Drew Lock coming to town. Going up against a backup quarterback, that's exactly what this defense needs to get right, get the confidence back. It's always go Birds, and we'll be all right.
Yeah, look, I'm definitely just going to go ahead and follow up with that. It's all about y'all getting me back into the groove, man. I need this team to go ahead and give me a reason to, you know, be happy and jolly again, man, because right now it's just not happening. I'm pissed, and I don't want to be this way. So, please, just get it together. We need y'all against Seattle. We're going against a team that we haven't beaten in a long time. Stats were brought up about, you know, we haven't lost
and
to the Jets in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, though, so let's just go. Let's just get it together, man. Go Birds, and let's get this fucking W, and let's start this streak the right way.
Last word, I just appreciate y'all in the comments. People showing up to the tailgates, people showing love out as we're traveling, meeting you guys in person. That's always a great experience for us. But like Eagle fans, stick together, stay together, back your football team. Make sure you show up if you can to Seattle, support this football team. If you need to come on Christmas, if you need to come on New Year's Eve, if you need to be there at the end of the season up at MetLife, it sucks at MetLife, but if you need to be there to support your team, support your team. But, you know, we will be always there supporting our team. And as always, it's fly, Eagles fly.
Go Birds.
And we'll see you in the next one.
Go Birds.